As those are being handed out, turn in your Bibles with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. This morning, and if you're familiar with that passage of Scripture, you can probably guess where I'm going. I want to take the opportunity this morning that Mother's Day provides us with by looking at the glory and the beauty of womanhood in Scripture. Mother's Day certainly provides us an opportunity where we're thinking about the blessing that each of us has received in our mothers, our wives, even women, sisters in general. And I thought this would be a great time to look at this passage. And so today we're going to do something of a character study from this passage of Scripture, chapter 31, from 10 to the end of the chapter in verse 31. A character study of womanhood, which will clearly lean on motherhood and marriage, and so we'll find applications with both, but I hope to speak a little bit more broadly when it comes to womanhood in general. What does the Scripture say about what it means to be a woman, what the role of a woman is, what the significance and glory of God's calling to women is? Especially considering not just the day, but I think the context, Christians, that we live in today really pushes for us to have a deeper comprehension of this from Scripture. Because in our day, even in a more advanced rate than generations prior, I believe that the beauty of femininity and even motherhood especially is under an attack. I think you can see that from our world and from the newspaper at least, that sometimes through encroaching waves of progressive feminism through previous generations, whether that was the suffrage movement to the sexual revolution in the 60s to the legalization of abortion and then even the modern transgender movement, we can see that motherhood, womanhood, has been increasingly despised, increasingly put away as something that needed to be advocated against. And which is interesting because, after all, the movement is feminism, but I would argue that that movement does not stand for the true definition of women, but stands to tear it apart. Motherhood in the feminist movement is something that women need to be emancipated from, pulled away from. That's enslavement upon her freedoms as a woman and her pursuits. That just gets in the way. And I believe that much of the modern feminist movement has even found its way into the church as well. Many Christians have been negatively influenced by feminism in slight or more extreme ways. Many of the biblical passages that we would read in the Bible that speak to womanhood have been sort of reinterpreted away as no longer significant or not applying to a modern context as a result of a modern desire to be taken away from motherhood as we know it in Scripture. It's a very sad shift that has reaped very great negative consequences. And so, this morning, let's take a fresh look. Let's look at the beauty of what Scripture speaks when it comes to the biblical role of women and motherhood in particular. Proverbs 31. You can start with me at verse 10. We'll begin there together. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. This is an excellent and encouraging passage of scripture. I know many of you will be very familiar with it. Now, we're going to take our time this morning to study this passage, and I want to do so by means of 5 points. So I'm sort of switching up my regular pattern of 3 or maybe sometimes 4. I want to look at 5 distinct aspects of the woman that we're seeing in the text of Scripture today. Who is she? What is her role? What is the nature of her role? What is the source of her strength? So 5 points today to look at that. I won't name them because they're a bit longer, but we'll go through them together. But before I open up the first point, I want to acknowledge the context here because it's very important. These are the words of a mother to a son. Interesting. I know clearly we get a theology of what womanhood is in this passage, but what I didn't read from the beginning of chapter 31 is the fact that this is actually the advice of a mother to a man of predominance, a king, King Lemuel, essentially advising her son, cautioning him, at least initially, to the temptation or what might seem like the allure of a woman who could possibly lead you to destruction, a woman who would seduce, and no doubt in the context of a king, he'd have access to much. A great man of power needed to be advised against where his sinful heart might lead him. And so this mother cautions her son, gives him wisdom against the foolishness of pursuing a woman who is wily of heart, who is seductive, and who could be an undoing to him in his role as king. And in contrast, his mother gives him this counsel, this encouragement. What we see here, the excellent wife, the godly mother, the biblical woman in contrast, the positive young woman who, in contrast to one who could destroy and tear up his life, his home, his land, one who would build it up and prove to be a great blessing to him and his family and his progeny as well. Which just gives pause here that when I'm preaching a message on Mother's Day might run the risk of men sort of tuning out the message. And I don't want you to do that. I think there's application, man, even for us, both in appreciation and exhortation today that we will find as well. So brothers, don't fall asleep on me this morning. I want you to tune in, especially because I know there are young men in our congregation this morning, those who will be pursuing marriage. And for you and for parents, as we lead our young men and even our young ladies in the pursuit of marriage, this is a wonderful opportunity to form our minds properly as to what a godly young lady looks like. So don't tune out. And the first point this morning is the glory of her person. Okay, so that is on the handout. You'll note the first point, the glory of her person. And I would put it, the treasure that is found in this one who exhibits such great characteristics. Now, we're going to do some hopping around the text today, so I want you to pay close attention. I'll be sort of skipping across some and reading certain verses and taking some thoughts from them. So I want us to reread verse 10, and I'll navigate you to the rest of the verses accordingly. Okay, verse 10. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. Verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Now move to verse 29 with me. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. And that's where I want us to stop for this point. Who can find her? This is a woman of extreme rarity. A woman who is compared to precious gems, precious minerals that men mine and dig up the earth to search for. Well, guess what? This is a woman of greater quality, greater value even than that. Proves to be far more of a treasure than anything of earthly value. And this is, I think, such a great place to start as we begin to set the stage as we study biblical womanhood. Because what we believe about women, what we believe about mothers, about wives from Scripture, what we believe as a church of Jesus Christ, what you may be preparing for, what you maybe have lived out for many years, is a glorious reality. It's a wonderful and glorious truth. And let me pause there to say, men, married men, are you aware of the blessing? And I'm sure I've said this before from the pulpit. Are you aware of the blessing that is yours in your wife? We are so blessed. A man who finds a wife finds what? A good thing. Just try to consider, men, as I often do, just where we would be without our wives. It's just atrocious. We are so blessed with our wives. And certainly the Scripture speaks of that very thing, the incredible gift that you have in a wife. And let me speak to the children too on that point. Children, listen to me for a moment. Give me your attention. Children, you have an incredible blessing in your mother. Okay? Right? You have an incredible blessing in your mother. If you have a mother, children, that is raising you up to know Jesus. Children, if you have a mother that talks to you about the Lord, wow. You are so blessed. You have a blessing that doesn't even compare to earthly treasure, children and husbands. I think when we see the rarity here in the language of the mother of King Lemuel, the rarity of this mother speaks to the glory of her call in the eyes of God. Certainly, excellent in contrast to others, but excellent because of the biblical nature of her role and responsibility. This is not a role that should be despised. Motherhood and biblical womanhood are not tasks of lesser value when we talk about the kingdom of God. They are immensely glorious. Yet all the treasure of the world essentially wouldn't compare. As I mentioned in my introduction, again, the world would have you believe otherwise. And ladies, listen to me on that. I recognize just being a human in this world, as we all do, I think women in particular are bombarded by the 21st century culture regarding what womanhood actually is. Bombarded against the biblical norm of what womanhood is. Purity and modesty, domesticity, submission, self-control, raising children, these are all things that our culture finds abhorrent and offensive. Right? And a positive depiction is one that's pushed against. And in fact, our culture finds a positive depiction to be a woman has a prestigious career, essentially girl boss mentality. Right? If you don't have other people under you, if you're unburdened by children, pursuing vanity and beauty, living totally free, This is good by what our culture is telling you today. But I'm telling you, ladies, that is a deception. That is a deception. That is a lie. And in fact, as you look at the women who have bought into that, typically you find the same. It is a lie of the culture, meaning to produce lonely, depressed, regretful women. And I think that's what we see in this culture of bitterness today. And I want to communicate at the outset that women, as I begin to open up your calling in Scripture, I want you to know that on the lowest level, the basement level, that your calling is glorious of God. And I want you to challenge the lies that we may have been fed from our culture about what womanhood actually is. I want you to challenge some of those feelings. Oh, I'm not sure about that. Maybe that seems a little bit harsh or burdensome. Well, if it comes from God's word, it is so good. And believe me when I say at the outset that God is saying, your role is precious. It is wonderful. It is glorious. And as I begin to expand on that, I would have you take hold of the same conviction this morning as we open up the Scriptures. It is good. It is glorious. It is a call of God. So that is the first point. Now I want to move on to my second point, the substance of her ministry. The substance of her ministry. This is where we start to open up. Okay, well, we see that the call is glorious. Now, what about what she is doing? What about what she is doing as a woman of God is so glorious? Now, again, you're going to have to follow along with me as I skip around on these verses. Let's start in verse 11, okay? The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Verse 15. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So again, when I say the substance of her ministry, I mean the focus. Okay, what is the focus of her role? The central aspect of her calling as a woman in Scripture. What defines it? And we see a few clues noted in the language here. Surrounding her relationship to her husband and to her children and to her service in those areas, we see that she's a blessing to her husband. Her character and virtue are even an advancement to this man's reputation. She's nurturing little ones that God has blessed her with. She's caring for their daily needs, causing their love and affection for her to essentially gush forward. And she is diligently about the work of her house, contributing to its overall function and success. And that's where I want to essentially pull that language. I believe it is central to her role of house. She is a woman devoted to her house. She is committed to its operation and the service of those in her household. Whether that's the clothes they wear or the food they eat or their time, she exercises a management over all affairs of the home. This very important aspect of everyone in her sphere, all of their life. This church is her ministry. Her house, her home is her ministry of God. And I think a great text that talks a little bit more about this is Titus 2. You don't have to flip there. I'm going to read it for you. But the Apostle Paul writes in Titus 2, 3 through 5, speaking to older women, he says, they are to teach what is good and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. I don't have the time to open this up, but I find that last phrase very interesting, even as you think of the name of God and the honor of God and the glory and the propagation of the Christian faith is tied to her obedience in this regard. But one word I think I want to pull out of there and insert here because it's very connecting to what we've studied is working at home. The older women are to teach the younger women, love their husbands and children, self-control, pure, working at home. As I looked at the Greek of that phrase, you find this is another one of Paul's compound words in Greek, taking two words, putting them together. And essentially the two words for that phrase are home and worker, oikos ergon. Home worker, home working, devoted to the house. And this is the definition of a woman's call of the Lord. A woman's call of the Lord is to be given to this area as their responsibility, the household. Now, that doesn't mean that that a woman can never work, that a woman can never have a job, essentially. I think that we'd be in conflict with the very passage we're looking here if we said that she doesn't have any ulterior or other source of income. We see that here. But what I do want to point out, even as I make that qualification, is that what this woman does is never in conflict. Let me rephrase that because I want to clarify. What this woman does on the side, what this woman does for income, never conflicts with her devotion to her household. She may have another form of income, but it never comes at the sake of her duty, her sacrificial care, and oversight of her children and her house. That is her call. Her call is her home, which is exactly why Paul's telling the older women to teach the younger women in this, to encourage the younger woman in their role. What's the substance of it? Well, their home life, their domestic role. And let me even take an opportunity to encourage the older women. Those of you who have done this, your life, raised up children. You know the ins and outs of motherhood. You have gained experience and knowledge as you raised up your own children in the faith. And you are such a source of encouragement and help. Ladies who are outside now of being moms yourself, this is one of your primary roles and even responsibility in the church to be an encouragement to the younger women and their calling. And I know the temptation for many women is, well, once they're done being a mom at home, it's sort of, well, shift back into the workforce. Well, let me advocate for the opposite, in that the church needs older women who are freed up in their time in a stage of life where they can pour into the younger women in terms of their responsibility to the home. What a ministry. What a ministry that is to help and encourage women in this very important role. Now, again, I know what the world thinks of what I'm saying. I know what the world thinks of what I am saying. And in fact, I know what many Christians think of what I'm saying. Many Christians sort of have the response, how could you tell a woman to give up a prominent career for staying at home? That might be the common critique that I hear and have heard before, right? Shouldn't she pursue an education and a career before she settles down and has children? That seems like a waste of time, right? A waste of ability and education. And I'm familiar with that common critique. And again, I would qualify. I'm not implying that an education for a young lady is wrong. I'm not implying that to have any post-secondary is somehow antithetical to the Bible. I already said that a job, another means of income, would not be antithetical to her call. But what I think has happened is very unfortunate. I think that wives and mothers are thinking today has been very influenced, again, by the world. It's sort of commonplace. We don't really even think about it, do we? It's sort of just, well, our young ladies, our women should just get a job, get a career. And when they have kids, the kids go to daycare and they're taken care of by somebody else. And moms see them later when they're off work. And that's just the way that homes work. This is just the way the families work today. Both husbands and wives are working, and that's just how it is. And I think if I can highlight at least one part of that, we've lost, at least initially, the value of children. The value of children in the home, the importance of children as a blessing, and as a blessing that need to be nourished and watched over by the means and care and oversight of mothers who are there with their children. And if I can quote from Vodi Bakum, who has lots to say about the biblical family, the common mantra of so many Christian families is, a boy for me, a girl for you, praise the Lord, now we're through. And while I do, brothers and sisters, recognize unique circumstances, okay? I recognize it is different from home to home. I do recognize that. I at least would advocate for the seeing of children as an incredible blessing. Seeing of children as an incredible blessing, the likes of which ought to be pursued as such. This is one aspect for where I think we've lost that role of women being domestic in the home, caring for those in their care, children, having them with them, sort of outsource that so that women can pursue exterior jobs and careers. But we need to revitalize our view of the blessing and importance of children, even many of them. Lots is the culture talking. And maybe we all have to take a moment for that too today as we analyze, well, what am I thinking about the role of a woman? Am I thinking biblically? Is my conviction based upon what Scripture says? Or is it based upon situation? Is it based upon culture? The other aspect, not just children and having children and taking care of children in the home and educating children in the home, but the other aspect is the economical aspect. Well, we need the money, right? We can't possibly pay for our home if both of us are not earning a living, and which I would challenge. I get, as much as everybody else, that Canada is not in the greatest economical state right now. But I think that the idea that both mom and dad need to have their own careers in order to financially support the home is based upon extravagant expectation. Extravagant expectation that our children are put into every form of extracurricular activity, this, that, the other thing. They have the brand new this, they have the brand new that, based upon the world. In fact, children certainly cost money, but I would argue that they are not as expensive as you may anticipate in this regard. Now, I want to say that I speak from a standpoint of experience in this regard. Having married a wife that is far smarter than I am, we know a little bit about this, as we had to work through a very major decision early on in our Christian life about career and the pursuit of education. And it was my wife and I's decision that she would walk away from a career that would in many ways change our life. And having decided to leave that career, we can both testify to the greatness and the blessing of pursuing a biblical pattern. And I want to so much encourage that to you, congregation. I want to so much encourage that to you. The beauty and the glory of this role. And I think the question is, this morning, even as we begin this subject, are these the truths about the role of a woman? About the role of women? Are these the truths that we embrace and rejoice in? Are these the things that we have sought to cultivate and implement in our families? Christians, fathers, mothers, raising children, are these the kind of principles that we are passing on to our own children, our own daughters, our own sons, about the expectations of marriage? Is it the pattern that we are displaying in our own homes by means of our own marriages to our children? We need to instill these values into our ladies. Okay, let's keep moving on. I want to look at my third point, the nature of her labor. The nature of her labor. Okay, it's a glorious thing, her call. This is what her call is, domestic of the home. The nature of her labor, what does it look like particularly? And this we're going to reread a lengthy section of this passage. I think it speaks directly to this point. Start with verse 13. We're going to end at 27. We're going to read a big chunk. Okay, so she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Whew! And take a breath. That's a lot of things here. And we don't have the time to open up every aspect of her actions here this morning. But I do want to capture, I hope, the general essence of what we're reading from these verses when we talk about the nature of this woman's labor. That she is anything but lazy and unproductive. She is doing anything but nothing. This is a lady who is occupied. This is a lady who is industrious. This is not a lady who sits at home and watches soap operas all day, which I think is, again, the cultural understanding. This is a mother who is working, working, working. It's wrong to assume that simply because a woman stays home to look after the house and the children that she is doing nothing. And it's just as wrong to assume even that in a proportionate manner that she somehow even works less than her own husband. She is working. She is laboring. She is giving her time. She is busy. She has a whole lot of things that she is occupied with. She's procuring materials for clothing. She's making them herself. Her home and children are dressed for the elements. Her house is fed and taken care of, procuring food, growing food, purchasing property, considering what might be additionally profitable for the family, buying it, and even making a business out of it. A lot of stuff. This is a hardworking woman. This is a hardworking woman. So much that it says her arms are strong. Side note, for what it's worth, a study had actually measured how the grip strength of young men today compared to the grip strength of women generations prior, and the average grip strength of women in those days that were majority agricultural had a stronger grip strength than young men today. It just goes to show. Women of this time were occupied with great lengths of labor and great lengths of dedication to a home. A mom's calling is great, but it is a challenging work. And I would say that that is exactly what it ought to be. And moms, you know this. You know, the moms that are in the thick of this ministry right now run off their feet, feel busy. You know, a constant checklist of things that you feel like you can never ultimately meet. You're busy, you're occupied, there's lots to do, taking care of your children. And that is not wrong. In fact, it's advisable. The Bible is saying, press on, keep working, labor diligently for this wonderful calling that you have. Now, of course, I think there's another qualification that needs to be made. There's always a difference, whether you're a mom or anyone, a man in the workforce, there's a difference between just busyness and efficiency. A difference between busyness and efficiency. At times, it could be that the home is out of control and busy, perhaps because the children need to be more disciplined. There need to be more order. There must be more schedule in the home, and that may be. But still, even when there is order and schedule, it is a great work. It is an exhausting work. It is a lot of labor. And at this point, Sisters, I want to encourage you in that. I want to encourage you in the labor. I want to continue to encourage you in the next points we're going to look at. But here on this point, this is your domain. Okay, this is your calling. This is where God has given you a sphere of authority in His world and in His kingdom for His purposes. The divine call upon your life. It's as if this is your garden to be nurtured and cared for, a wonderful aspect to bring glory to God. And it's within your freedom, ladies, to pour yourself into it. Pour yourself into it. It is what you make it, essentially. By His grace, you can see very plentiful development. Now, clearly, it demands the fact that there must be domesticity. You must be in the home. You must have things put aside so that you can be there to pour into. But let me encourage you to pour yourself completely into it. Create a schedule for chores. Memorize Bible verses with the children. Beautify and color your home to represent the wonderful call that God has given you in this area of influence. Be excited about the education of your children. God has gifted you with specific abilities to do that. God has made you for this in a way that men are simply not equipped for in the same way. Your tenderness, your compassion, your development of beauty, your love, your nurture makes you such a wonderful blessing to your home, and any husband can bear witness to that very thing. The invention of modern appliances for homework, and we have many of them, and I think especially around the time of the 50s, there were so many new inventions that it created a whole lot more free time, which in essence pushed, unfortunately, many women to go and get jobs with that free time, rather than to utilize the new free time for further industriousness in the home. Well, what now can I do with this time? How now can I utilize the free time to pursue God's ends in this ministry? The woman of Proverbs 31 is incredibly industrious, finding new ways to serve those God has placed in her domain. And the questions, ladies, that may be profitable for you to ask yourself as you consider, well, how can I take control of this area of dominion that's been entrusted to me? How can I better the process is one way to ask of it. What would contribute to the atmosphere of this house? What areas of need do my children have currently? How can I get even more serious about serving God with the time that I have? And ladies, I would so encourage those questions as you consider the beauty of your call. Now we're moving on, point number four. Point number four, the effect of her virtue. The effect of her virtue. And this is where, brothers and sisters, I hope to really begin to dive into the encouragement of God's word for women. Again, follow me along as I jump around to a few verses. Think deeply about what might be highlighted from these passages. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." 23, "She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple." 28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." 30, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is gain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." 31, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Praise her. Praise her. Praise her. I mean, that language is used a few times. Sometimes we're a little bit cautious of ascribing anything known as praise to anyone else but God. And I think that's a proper caution that we have as Christians. But I don't think this kind of praise is coming at the sacrifice of honor and recognition of God. The opposite fact. In fact, we're going to look at that as we close this morning. Her husband praises her, her children praise her, her works turn out to be something of a praise to her. She is honored for her labors, esteemed for the nature of her call. This is the exact reason why so many in the Western culture, with a Christian base, celebrate Mother's Day. Right, this day where we honor the role and the call of a mother. It's based in Christian truth. Based in the very truths we're looking at right here. The beauty and significance of this role, so much so that an entire day should be devoted to it. We're saying, look at this woman laboring for the upbringing of her children, respecting her husband in such a godly manner, caring tirelessly for her home and her children with a gracious and tender spirit. Oh, be thankful for such. Mothers, those of you who currently serve the Lord in this way and have served the Lord in this way, do you realize that this morning the incredible impact of your role? I just talked about how much work it is. It's a lot of work. Okay, it takes time. You want to be industrious with it. You want to take advantage of this call of God to do it to the best of your ability for the glory of God. But I want you to think, do you know the significance, the impact of what you are doing at home? This is a kingdom mandate. This is a propagation of the truth of the gospel mandate. You are engaged in gospel ministry. You are raising up faithful servants in the next generation who will walk after the Lord. The scripture calls them gospel arrows. Arrows in the sheath to be shot out in the world, to be a weapon of righteousness against the enemy and his work. Bringing up disciples of Christ for the reward of our Savior. I mean, this is incredible. Your role has incredible gospel kingdom significance. And it's not just in raising the children, it's the home that you create. It's the home, it's the hospitality, it's the regular things of life. You're creating a home that ministers to the needs of those entrusted to your care. You're creating safety and security for them to flourish, to be provided for, to find solace in. To waft the aroma of Jesus Christ to those that you bring into the home and say, what is it about your house? What is it about your family? Minister love and compassion, service to the saints of God. This is an incredible call. And sisters, I want you to not fall prey to thinking that in the midst of changing diapers and making food and the many other things that come with domestic ministry, that your labors are somehow ultimately mundane or menial, because they are not to God. They are not to your family, and they are also not to God. When you're in the midst of changing diapers, cleaning, telling your children the same things over and over, for some of you feels like spanking and spanking and spanking. Is for an ultimate end that is far more glorious than you may even be able to see currently. There will be fruit. As you look to the Lord and labor for your house, you will see great blessing. And there is evidence for that. There's evidence in the scriptures. Even as you consider Paul writing to young Timothy, the pastor of scripture, to encourage him in the duties of a shepherd, where does he credit the origination of this man's faith in many ways? Clearly we recognize in God, but he gives credit to his mother and his grandmother. Young Timothy, who's going to labor over the church, who's Paul's entrusted companion, credits that sincere faith to the sincere faith of his mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois, a mother who raised her boy in the knowledge of Christ, which led to his early abilities in the ministry. And mothers out there who labor for their children apart from the assistance of a God-fearing husband, I want you to hear that very verse. Even without the assistance of a husband who is yet unnamed in the scriptures, this woman is credited for the influence of her children in the knowledge of God. And history's testimony would fail us to go through each and every one. Saint Augustine's mother was the one who prayed tirelessly for him as a man who was steeped in sin, but would ultimately be one of the greatest, most influential theologians of all time. His mom prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed tirelessly for this young man until he would be converted. And you know the names John and Charles Wesley. Their mother was the mother of 19 children whose labors and teaching produced the men who would shape the world with the Methodist movement. These men. Charles Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers, who recalls his mother's praying as shaking to the core of his being as she would pray during family worship, "Oh God, do not let Charles be judged and go to hell, but let him find eternal life." Those are the prayers that pierced his heart. Behind so many mightily used men and women of God, there is so often a faithful mother, brothers and sisters, so often a faithful mom. And sisters, there's such a drought of spirituality in this day. When you think of the children that are being brought forth in this generation, in a godless time embedded in the filth and the poison of this world, may by God's grace we be raising a generation of servants of Christ, bred and nourished in the truths of the Word under mothers who love Jesus Christ, who aren't doing it perfectly, yes, but who raise their children in the love of Christ and will have an impact. Let the world have their big careers, ladies, and their prominent worldly ambitions. Serve Christ. Serve Christ in your home. And see the result. Fifth and final, we end on the source of her ability. And I think rightly so to end here. The source of her ability. For this, I want to read verse 30. This one. "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now that, if you're going to remember one thing today, I pray it would be that. To fear the Lord, the most important aspect of all. Brothers and sisters, the very source of everything we see of this woman in this passage. The fear of God. And I've heard from many ladies that this passage is a daunting one. And for many, many women, Proverbs 31 is actually a dreaded passage. See, look at all the things that this lady does, who seems to not have a single flaw, does everything right, doing this, that, the other thing, busy with all good things. And they say, "Well, look at me. Look at me and the things I've accomplished. I can't do what she does. I'm not anywhere near this. My house is a mess. My home is a mess. My children are undisciplined. Everything is out of control. I don't seem to have the time for anything." Now, while many say it is impossible, I want to qualify again. I don't want ladies to find yourself in the ditch of falling prey to the sort of mom grief that is common today. "Well, you know, I can't do it. I'm just going to embrace failure. It's impossible. We'll just sort of give up." Well, you can't do that, clearly. There's still a pattern here. There's still a pattern here, a commendable guide. The principle being that grace is never an excuse to just accept failure and move on. There's an example that should be striven for. But if that's all there is, ladies, if all there is striving, "I just try to do every single thing she does to a T and I just can't do it." Well, that's a losing battle. That is just a losing battle. This is unachievable in your own strength. If you try to work for this all by yourself, you're going to find yourself in despair. And I close with the encouragement that the fear of the Lord is where to begin. The fear of the Lord is where to begin. Honor, reverence, humility before the living God. The recognition that you can't produce a single hint of any of this in your household apart from God. That the power and the strength that you need to pursue a godly home lies in Him. Submission to God, fear of God, sisters. Fear of God, a fear that is displayed in total reliance. Total reliance, recognition of inability, seeing in God your greatest need and trusting in Him to provide. And that trust, that reliance will produce fruit. Not perfect, clearly, but fruit in one's life, one's marriage, one's children, and all the attributes that are displayed. This is a woman of generosity, wisdom, discipline, selflessness, and courage. And women, the tendency for yourself and your constitution made by God is each of us men and women have certain leanings. Your tendency will be to fear other things, to fear the unknown, to fear the outcome of your children, to fear, well, what if this doesn't happen? What if my husband doesn't come here? What if we don't get this? Well, God is combating that. Don't fear the unknown. Don't fear what you can't see. Don't fear everything else. Fear God. Fear God. Direct your anxieties about the house, your failures personally to God. Direct everything to God. To bow down, humble reverence of Him. And this, like everything else, begins at the cross. Begins at the cross of Jesus Christ, where we recognize our hope of salvation. The lack of ability that we have in us as we see the solution for our sin hanging on the tree being Jesus. Ladies, this is where you begin. Men as husbands and fathers, this is where we begin. Anyone outside of the Lord Jesus, fraught with sin, seeing the disability over and over and over and over again, we start with Christ. Start with Christ. And I know many of us, many ladies here, many of you will find yourself in different stages, different positions with regard to this. Some of you may be even finding yourself in sorrow this morning as you consider past faults or failures. Some of you find yourself just at your wit's end trying to do this and exhausted. Well, it starts here. It starts here. Be strengthened in your fear of God. There is still, no matter what amount of time you still have left, you can be a God-fearing woman over the children that you've given with regard to the husband, with regard to the church around you. Honor the Lord. Posture yourself in humility before God. Bow before Him. Look to Him for what you need. And see in Him the one who has given you this glorious task and can enable you to do it faithfully. Amen. Let's bow our heads.